Welcome to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week describes herself as a South London girl with a little sugar, a whole lot of spice, who likes to have a finger in every pie. She's nodding away. And I would say she really proves that with the range of creative pursuits she's involved with. So we're talking dance, acting, poetry, modelling, voiceover for brands like Disney, MTV, Cartoon Network. And currently she's busy hosting children's TV show Scrambled, and her name is Kerry Boyne.
Hello there.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am doing good, mate. How are you? Oh, what was that? I think that was my inbox. I don't know how to turn that sound off. I would love to know, because genuinely every time I'm in like a meeting or something, ping, I'm like, oh.
Oh dear. Well, I didn't hear it, so we're probably safe.
Oh, I mean, carry on then. Let's move on.
Yeah, the amount of stuff that gets cropped out that the listeners don't hear. I've got a text tone that's the whistle from the Hunger Games.
Okay.
And sometimes it comes through on the audio and I'm like, yeah, we definitely need to crop that. People are going to get triggered. They'll be waiting for the purge to come.
I don't volunteer.
That is the last thing we need in the middle of 2021.
No thanks.
Different districts being put against each other, particularly when, you know, people like you in London, I think you're pretty unlikely to be picked with your massive population.
True. That's a fair point.
So to get back to the structure of the show, you've got a dating story to share.
God, there's so many to choose from. Okay, well, I'm going to share this one. I met this guy. How did I meet him now? I can't remember, but imagine I met this guy and we've been talking and we decided to go on our first date and he was planning it all. So I was like, oh, that's great. I love a guy that has initiative and, you know, rises to the occasion. So he planned the whole day and it was this, we were going to do dirty dancing, like where you learn the routine and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, that's fun. Like, obviously he knew I was a dancer and he's been listening. So we go on the date. The date's really fun. Like, we're drinking, we're chatting, we do the whole routine thing. Like, the first date was like really, really great. And we actually watched the movie before we did the dance, because that was all part of it. After that, like, we're messaging back and forth. Then at some point, he'd just been watching my show, Scrambled, and he basically just said to me, like, are you going to twerk on me in your robot outfit? Sorry, what? Yeah, are you going to twerk on me in your robot outfit? Because, you know, on that show, it's a kid's show, so we do wear a lot of different costumes and outfits and things like that. And I don't know why, but in my head, I was just like, is he okay? Like, I know we just did dirty dancing, which wasn't too dirty, to be fair. I know the clues in the title, but, like, you know, it was basically a mambo. Yeah. And after that, I was just like, I just don't know if I could keep seeing you now. Like, I don't know. For me, I just found it too weird. And I tried to make a joke of it. Oh, give him an inch and they want a mile. And then he was like, yeah, no, but can we arrange this with your robot costume? And I was just a bit like, I'm going to step back from this guy, just because, don't get me wrong, we can all be like weirdos. I'm a weirdo at the best of times, but I think sometimes it's about finding the weird that works for you.
I have to give you a point right there, because that is very me, finding the weird that works for you. That's what I want in a relationship.
Yeah, we're all weird. I don't know, after that comment I was just like, yeah, that's not for me. I'm not, no. Yeah. And then I just sort of had to depart from that, and that was that. So that's my kind of weird dating story that kind of had so much potential. I mean, the first date, we were all like dancing and people were like, oh my God, are you guys on your first date? And it was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, you two are so cute. And it had all of this potential. And then, like, I just couldn't come back from that comment. And I tried to, like, make light of it. And he wanted me to twerk on him in a robot outfit. Yeah, I'm just not into that, mate.
Wow. That's intense. Although it's interesting, I've already noticed a difference between us, though, because you see it as a selling point when other people get involved in your date and try and support you. I want zero involvement. If a waitress so much as looks affectionately at me and somebody on a date, like, oh, look at them, that's too much.
Okay.
I don't know what that says about me, that I maybe want to, like, fly under the radar. I'm like, nobody pressurize me. I'm trying to figure this out. Nobody look at us.
No, but I just think, you know what, different strokes for different folks, in it. And I think where I was in a class, it was quite an interactive class, you know, this is pre-corona days, where, you know, it's a big class, everyone's chatting, everyone's like, oh, like, because it was a really, really great class. So it wasn't so much people were like joining in on our date, and they were just kind of like, oh, are you on a date? Because we probably smell of like first date vibes, do you know what I mean? You know when you see a couple and you're like, I bet they're on their first date.
I love that. You reminded me of one of the shadiest things one of my relatives did to show up her husband. He'd kind of like ignored her a little bit on a holiday. And I think it was like a cruise or something where there were, you know, other couples around. And because she wasn't very pleased with him, at one point he asked if she wanted tea. And she made sure to say, oh, yeah, milk and two sugars or whatever she wanted, as like a really intellectual way of pretending like they just met each other, you know, to try and imply like, oh, I'm just some fling that he's picked up for a holiday, you know, not my husband of 10 years. And I love that because it's so petty, but it's also so intellectual. Like, he would have been affected by that, but maybe nobody else would have realised.
That's hilarious.
Well, I do love from that story, you've actually brought up something I really wanted to ask you about. And I wasn't quite sure how we'd end up getting onto this topic, but navigating the type of personality you're expected to be to like appeal to the kids and, you know, with any role where you're a public face, people can assume like that's all you are. And it seems like this is an even more extreme example than maybe I was expecting, where he'd really made that version of you a fantasy for him.
Yeah, that's basically what he done, which is strange. Like, I hadn't had that before, and I haven't had it since, to be fair. Although I do have some people that tend to, like, once they know what I do, they can get really weird, which I still don't really understand. But yeah, it's a weird one, actually, because when you are a children's TV presenter, it's more that you feel like you have a certain persona or a way that you need to be perceived. And it's like, you know, obviously, though, I am in Club 30, whoop, whoop. And, you know, I've lived life and I like to go out and enjoy myself. But there's that little voice that's kind of like, you know, I don't want to have too many pictures where I've got alcohol in my hand or I look a stay or up. Do you know what I mean? Just because it's just you have to be mindful of that, I guess. But then that is a part sometimes of your life of going out and just having a lovely time with pals. So
yeah, you also need to be an adult.
Yeah, it is finding the balance, though. But I do think, yeah, since I started doing that job, I definitely was more mindful of being out and being a state or getting to those levels or things like that. Like, I just started to curb doing that as much before people think that's all I do. But yeah, he didn't know about me before. And then obviously I said, this is what I do, blah, blah, blah. And then he started looking me up. And then that's when obviously he'd watched the show and then was like, yeah, I want to twerk from you in your robot outfit, which would have been really uncomfortable and awkward AF. So I don't know what kind of fantasy he had going on, but yeah.
Oh, don't you know, men's fantasies, they're not for the enjoyment of women. You're not meant to be comfortable in those 18-inch stilettos.
Of course I'm not.
Right, of course I'm not. Yeah, it's not for me, is it?
No, the stilettos stop you running away. They don't make you comfortable.
No, definitely not. But they do look good.
Without wanting to over extrapolate about this anecdote, it is interesting to me, maybe as an example of how the pressure that can be put on men sometimes is that we constantly have to be like sexually ready and constantly looking for opportunities. And, you know, sometimes that comes out in pretty inappropriate ways where we're like, oh, here's something that could be vaguely sexual. I've got to jump on it. And the person you're dealing with is like, huh? how did you think of that?
Yeah, like, where did it come from? It wasn't even like we were having like sexual flirty banter that led up to that. It was almost like it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, he woke up in the morning, saw me on the channel, and then was like, oh, robot outfit. Yes, fantasy. I had no idea where it came from. So some of you men, I don't know, maybe most or I don't know, can be quite strange in that way, can't you?
Yeah, I think things are getting better. I gotta hope.
I hope so as well. Yeah. People having more of an awareness of who they are and how they're being and yeah.
And so you mentioned about the kind of persona you're expected to have with children's TV. Do you find that ever like seeps into the rest of your life?
Right, yeah. Do you know what? Actually, I think I found a way to separate myself from it. Like, when I'm on the job, I'm on the job and I'm giving it all the energy. Now, I'm still me on the show. It's just a more like crazier, happier, vibranty more person. I think I definitely leave that there and I am just me and I'm just Kerry from Southeast London who, you know, says what she means and means what she says and doesn't beat around a bush. I mean, don't get me wrong, though, I love to put on a show. If you catch me out, I'll be dancing on tables, you know, Yeah, I know, I'd have fun in that sort of sense. Yeah, no, I wouldn't say I carry on the old presenter voice and bring that into the personal life, really.
Yeah, that's good. I'm still somewhat getting used to that with this show being relatively new. Of sometimes I do kind of find myself slipping into podcaster mode a little bit. Like I'm, you know, maybe talking to somebody on a dating app and they say something really weird. My brain kind of switches to, ooh, this could be interesting material. This is something that interests me from like a dating analysis point of view, as opposed to like seeing this person as an option. But then maybe that's a good thing sometimes when people get written off by their behavior by me quite easily.
Yeah, but actually I think that's a good thing, because that means it's that thing in life where you're like drawing inspiration from wherever. And I do that sometimes, well, quite a lot of the times. I could be having a conversation with someone and be like, oh, like you, basically, and just be like, oh, that's that, there could be something in that, maybe there's a story in that. You never know where you're going to get your inspiration from, so you gotta get it where you gotta get it, you know.
It entertains me, but I'm also cautious of, don't lead people on, you know. This can't be a thing of, I'm going to talk to this person for 6 months because they seem like entertaining strangeness.
Yeah, there's a story in here. Do you know what? That reminds me of that film, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I don't know if you've seen that film, but basically it's all about, she works for a magazine and she's basically, her task is to make some guy fall in love with her, essentially, but then like break his heart or whatever. So it's like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. So you get the guy and then, yeah, you're going to do all these heinous things to like get him to break up with you. But it doesn't work because he's on his own assignment to like get a girl to fall in love with him. So he doesn't, no matter what she does to him, he's trying to get her to stay. So it's quite intense, but it just reminded me of that because people are interesting.
Yeah, so, it is interesting. I don't know what it says about me that you describe that movie, though. And I'm like, ah, oh, that whole concept sounds so much easier than actually dating. Maybe I just set myself a new aim, yeah, of just fucking up relationships. I can do that. I've definitely done that in my past.
I think most of us have had a lot of experience in that one. But you live and learn.
Have there been any recurring challenges you've come across?
I feel like I've had things where it's like they've been quite short-lived, but I don't know if that's like a challenge.
I've had a lot of those.
Some of them have been lovely that they've been short-lived and they're fine, but then other times you're just like, eh, what is going on there? What is the universe trying to tell me? Like, just don't know. What's up with all these short ones?
And also the difficult thing for me with that is the sort of trying to put it away in my brain of like, when it's short-lived, there's still so much vagueness. You can get to know somebody as a friend and it matters so much less that you know very little about them at the beginning. But as soon as it's someone you're looking to date, that's suddenly a massive problem. And then if that level of relationship then ends prematurely, you're left with all these questions. And yeah. So I don't know, maybe that's something each of us need to navigate, building more autonomy so we can be like, there probably isn't an answer of why that didn't work out, or, you know, there's probably not something that I did wrong. And in fact, we didn't know each other very well and maybe it just didn't quite click.
Yeah. And sometimes it just is what it is. Maybe that person, as you said, wasn't for you. Someone better will come around, as they say, plenty more fish in the sea. Although, where is all the fish? Do you know? Where is all this fish? Oh, do you know what just came to me? Something that actually I'm finding I'm getting a lot of, and it might just be the, you know, this period that we're in with where dating is all online and all this kind of stuff. But just a lot of guys wanting to be my pen pal on these dating apps. I'm not 10 years old. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking to have a pen pal, but I just feel like there's a lot of chatter on these dating apps and just no action. And I feel like I'm seeing a lot of that, and that's just boring me to death.
Yes, I hear that particularly from female friends, actually. And I'm so glad you brought it up, because I've got a whole theory on this. And I think it's maybe something to do with how at times men aren't encouraged to have like mutually supportive relationships outside of a romantic relationship. Like, the idea of guys hanging out is so often stereotyped as like, you go down the pub, you get pissed, you go off to the footy together. It's all these activities that don't necessarily go hand in hand with talking emotions. Maybe emotions of, oh, my team lost and I want to shout about it, I don't know. But not a football fan, but I wonder if it's partly that. Do you know what I mean? I wonder if sometimes these kind of stereotypical ways we look at gender within friend groups means that some guys find themselves in a position where they don't feel able to reach out to their friend group. And then if they're not in a relationship, the person that might be considered their default emotional support person, which I don't really like that as a pressure to put on people either.
Yeah.
Maybe they then go to dating apps. And it's like, oh, this person will ask me how my day's been regularly because we don't know each other. So what else are we going to talk about?
What else are you going to ask? Yeah, I think when you're on that dating app and you're just, you know, you're wanting to like obviously look for a romantic significant other, like, you know, the pen pal thing is just, it's boring, isn't it? Let's be real.
Yeah, it's very strange. And I'm someone that really tries to avoid that. So I like to get on the date in person very quickly. And that's part of the reason why I'm taking a bit of a break from the apps right now, because I can't do that. And I don't really want to go on frosty walks with somebody because that really kills my buzz. And also, I think it's very difficult to get, you know, very real interactions with somebody in that way. Like, I've had it a lot where I'm not really a texter. I'm not really somebody that communicates in that medium. It's partly my dyslexia. And so I've had it if it's got drawn out communicating in that way, and then we actually meet each other. That's often the time where, like, at that point, if not before, I want to already be like switching to phone calls or just mainly see each other in person. And some people can then react to my texting dropping off. And it's like, well, that's not really me. That's performative because the apps demand that. And I actually feel quite inadequate to communicate with somebody and be supportive over messages, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm quite old school like that. I just love a good old phone call, like even voice note. At least that's a little step up. You can hear someone's voice and like their mood, their tone. Because so many things can be miscommunicated via message. So yeah, you can't beat a good old fashioned phone call. But actually what I was going to say is like, it's so funny that yes, in one hand, I'm like, oh, this pen pal stuff when people just want to message all the time and there's not anything to like gear it up to go on a date. But the flip side of that is sometimes you can get people that are like the other extreme. So I had a situation recently on a dating app where somebody had messaged me. I think they'd messaged me, say they'd messaged me about 10 a.m. I hadn't been on all day just because I don't always go on my dating apps every day, because otherwise it just becomes another thing to do. It's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's this, it's your dating app. But I think I didn't go on until later on at night. And by the time I'd gone on, I'd had one message at like 10, and then I'd had another message about, say, 4 or 5 o'clock. The first one was obviously like, hey, how you doing? Like, whatever, just basic. And then the next one was, well, look, if you're not going to message back, I haven't got time for you to be wasting my time. And it was a bit like, whoa, like you've only sent one message and you're already, well, clearly you're not on here. So I don't want to, I'm not going to waste my time anymore. And I just thought it goes from one extreme to the next sometimes with guys. Where's the happy medium?
Yeah, it's very aggressive and entitled, really, is how that sounds. I don't know, maybe it's my cynical brain, but I hear something like that and I think, you do seem to have time. You've time to text me twice in one day with no reply. And I'm not immediately responding to you. And that's the real issue here.
Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. I do think there is an element of, you know, self-preservation and knowing your worth. And, you know, if you've sent someone a message and you haven't heard from them for a couple of days, maybe a week, then, you know, you just sack it off. But like, the fact is, you've only just messaged a person, like at least give them a day to respond, maybe. Don't just be coming in at them. So then for me, the wider problem with that then is that I then go, does that mean, are you quite an impatient person? Does that mean, you know, if we did start dating or if we moved to WhatsApp and I didn't message you back within the hour, are you going to be coming in at me? Like, I'm getting red flags up in here.
That's a real efficient way to give a red flag. Just get me wondering, like, what have you got going on? I mean, pandemic aside, obviously now it's understandable. But back in the real world, I wanted to say, that would make me quite suspicious of, how am I suddenly your priority this much that you can constantly text me? Or is it that you don't have much going on? And it kind of starts to feel a bit smothering. But maybe that's me and my kind of independent character.
No, I mean, I actually do think I have those thoughts sometimes, because you can't not have those thoughts. And we have to be not weary, but I think we just have to have an awareness of how the vibes we are getting from people, because the vibes don't lie. And I think a lot of the time we convince ourselves of things, but deep down we know within our gut, that feels a bit off, or That felt a bit, I don't know about that thing that they just said. Do you know what I mean? And you can feel stuff. So I think we have to tap into that, because otherwise, that's why sometimes these disasters can happen. And then at the end, you're always like, yeah, I knew it. Because you knew, like, you know what I mean? There was always some sort of signs or something along the way that you sort of ignored and you thought, yeah, maybe it's not going to be that.
And so what kind of first messages do you tend to get? Are there any patterns there?
Ooh, I'm trying to think now. I think a lot of them tend to be aesthetic stuff. So like, you're stunning. God, you're sexy. It's quite rare that somebody, you know, picks up something else. And sometimes, because I've got a picture of like me holding a dog, even though it's not my dog, but I just thought it was a cute dog. Like things about the dog. I kind of do prefer those ones, even though it's not my dog. And then eventually have to be like, it's not my dog.
I've definitely come across that where, oh, your dog's so cute. Because I think that's me trying to sometimes not do that, not constantly go for, you know, messaging particularly women and being like, oh, this is really attractive of you, always going for those entry points. Yeah, and then it's not even their dog. I've been somewhat trapped in that. But in terms of you, like, as a recipient of those kind of messages, do you mind getting such a load of messages that are about your appearance?
I don't particularly mind, but I think I do prefer when it doesn't just start with that. I think I like it when, say on my profile, I've said things like, you know, I love talking about the universe or drinking Ryoka, or do you know what I mean? So I kind of prefer it when people talk about other things, because it just shows that they've obviously taken in your profile and it's not just like, you're fit. Like, which, you know, obviously we need to all be attracted, you know, you have to have attraction with someone and that's part of it. But yeah, it's also good to take in a person fully and not just have that. Because then sometimes it's hard on the receiving of that. It's like, okay, do you just want sex? Like, where does this go?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's quite difficult to gauge the type of interest they have when you're constantly getting the same kind of message. But no, I think that's a very good pitch for people actually filling out their profile as well, because I know I find that a bit frustrating if I want to reach out to somebody and I'm like, I don't know what to say. If only you'd written some things. And so actually, as mundane as it might seem, somebody like listing their interests, okay, we can get into a back and forth, you know, certain topics like music. I think you can get a lot of messages out of music if you want.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the type of messages I receive, because so I have Hinge and Tinder at the moment. And Hinge, do you know that one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm on. That's the only, I'm on Bumble as well, but I still, do you know what? I've never really liked Bumble. I hate this whole like girl has to make the first move thing. I don't know. I know they're trying to be like, give us the power and all of that stuff. And I'm all here for like women feeling empowered and powerful and all of that. But I don't know. Sometimes I don't know about Bumble.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to friends of mine where they've kind of thought, well, you know, Bumble, there's already all this pressure on women in terms of their appearance, and then it kind of feels like, okay, I've shelled out all this money for this weave and this outfit and all my photos are expected to be perfect, and then I also have to start the conversation. So in a way, maybe as kind of bland as it might be, the first message of being a compliment sort of feels like a sort of known exchange in a way for women. So Hinge, I tend to get more interactions with the things I've said, but generally not good things. One of the things on there is I'm funny with the number of X's I put on messages. 3 is I'm really into you. So if I'm in a relationship with somebody, and I think this really speaks to how I'm very much a thinking person in my approach to life. Feelings, yes, but thinking is the way I navigate the world. It's very me to have a weird formula. And so I put that on my Hinge because I was like, oh, this is a maybe quirky thing about me. People might have opinions on it. And the only real response I get from it is people just come in to my inbox and say, oh, would I get 3 X's? I'm like, you are jumping a lot of steps there. I don't.
Yeah.
So I can't say I've ever replied to one of those. So I think maybe I need to take that down, because if people don't know, Hinge is like little prompts for you to put something in, and there's a few of them, and then people can comment on that or on a photo. So that's sort of backfiring a little bit. I'm involved in a campaign for mental health education. So there's a picture of me outside Downing Street, and that gets a lot of people ask about, oh, what's the petition for? But that's now got a bit boring as well.
Yeah. You might need to just switch it up. You got to switch up the profile, haven't you? Sometimes it's...
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's on me to like, I'm bored of set of responses. I need to put some effort in. You're right. But then by contrast, on Tinder, nobody ever says anything about what I've got type. And I guess that's partly like that medium. And I'm going to read you this because I was pleased with this and nobody else cares. So like I've got a few little chunks of text about different things. One of them is a song lyric which says, "This one goes out to all of you around the world who know what you want and go get it." There's a little bit more than that, but that's the gist of it. And that's Santa Gold. So it's a musician I like, you know, so maybe people can connect with me on that. Equally, it's not obvious it's song lyrics. So someone might be like, "Oh, is that an author?" Like, there's things you could say to that. And I like that quote because it feels very like it sums up my personality. I like go-getting people, but maybe I just need to be more obvious. Maybe I'm like over-intellectualizing it.
No, yes and no. I think either way it's a talking point, isn't it? On these profiles, somebody's given you like a little snippet into them, and I think it's down to us just to be like, "Oh, okay, what is that? Did you write that yourself?" Or do you know what I mean? I think there's always something, and I think sometimes it's just, we can just all be a bit lazy sometimes, but it's just a bit lazy just to go in for the looks always when there's other things that you could talk about. You could find stuff if somebody has filled out their profile, obviously.
I guess that's a big part of it, but also it just can feel quite tricky. I think I fall for the trap sometimes that the apps are so gamified now that sometimes it doesn't feel like these are real people. You get so into the swiping of it all.
Yeah, whether it's organic or not. And I think that's the thing. And I think, do you know what, last year especially, I wasn't that bothered, I think, about being on them and meeting someone, because I was a bit like, I don't know, everyone's, you know, going through different things during this whole ordeal. It's going to be quite tough to sort of know if somebody's really in it or if somebody's just in it just because they're bored or because they just need company, and which, you know, are all valid things that we probably all needed since all this pandemic stuff has started. But for me, I just thought, it's going to be quite tricky to know if someone's really in something or if people are just bored.
Part of that at the moment is we don't really know. Like, if you tried to pin me down on it, I don't know what I'm looking for right now, because I don't really know what's possible in terms of dating with the restrictions.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, isn't it? I mean, there's only so much like park walks you can go on, albeit I love me a park walk. You've got to get your steps in. Yeah, it is difficult. What can we do? Lots of phone calls.
I do have one friend that got into a relationship during this, and it's almost like extra romantic to me because they're sort of up against the odds. And I'll put a link in the description of the episode, actually, because it's an interview I did with her where I just sometimes I hear myself and I'm like, your life is really something else. I'm like, here you are having so many of the most important conversations with people in your life recorded. I'm really a puppet of my own medium at times. But anyway, the point of that anecdote is they were both, you know, looking to find somebody before, and then they thought, you know, it's not going to happen for us now. They happened to meet each other and they thought, oh, this could be really incredible, but it's probably not going to work out because of the times. And then it did. That's kind of magic for me, but I think that's a lot of patience and optimism. And I think sadly that, you know, it might be a bit too unlikely for a lot of us right now.
I know. It's just, who knows, really? None of us know what's around the corner, do we? But I think doing it that way is beautiful because in some ways it's kind of given people the opportunity to really know someone, because we don't have, oh, you can just go to a bar and get drunk. You don't have, you can just go to a cinema or any of these outlets. So it is literally like me and you having a conversation, getting to know each other. And I think that's a really great foundation to start with. Maybe even like not even being able to jump in and have sex with someone straight away because of these restrictions, you know, all you could do was go to the park. So yeah, I think it's just giving people more time to really get to know each other. Who knows what's round the corner? I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of like that. You're really selling it to me, actually, where I'm like, oh, there's almost something Romeo and Juliet about that. Like, you're of different houses. Isn't that one of the lines?
Yeah.
Yeah, these two people that have been held up as the ideal for our romantic lives, and they're both in their early teens, I think, when it was written. That's kind of skated over in class. But on that weird note, we will come to our rules of the game. So is there something like serious or silly that you try and live by in relationships?
I think it's more silly. It's that, you know, if you have to force it, it's probably shit.
Yeah, you get a point for that. I agree.
Did I get a point for that?
Yeah, you've sold me on that. If you have to force it, it's probably shit. Maybe that's the title of the episode.
It's so true, though. Sometimes in life, we can try and force these connections. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, if people really want to be in your life, they will be there. Like, you shouldn't have to beg anyone. If you're having to beg someone, like, you probably need to take a little step back and just, you know, go where the love is.
And that's something that when I look back at my dating history, I've definitely fallen foul of that. Like, it can sound like such a simple rule. And yet I can bring some names to mind where I was like, that was something that should not have gone anywhere. And oftentimes it didn't, because it wasn't meant to. Maybe we're missing somebody even cooler that's floating nearby.
Exactly. I mean, we've all been there. I won't lie. I've definitely done my fair share of that.
I've got one actually that links to something we talked about earlier in terms of sending the first message on dating apps. A trick I use sometimes that I think helps when my ego is feeling a little bit more vulnerable, getting in your head. One thing I sometimes do is I give something that can very easily not need a reply. So rather than going in with like a question or something very direct in that way, you know, sometimes it can just be like, the pandemic sucks. I don't know, you know, maybe just make a statement and see if they respond to that. And then if they don't respond to it, then at least this is the way I rationalize it in my head. It's like, well, I didn't ask them a question, so they're not ignoring my question. They just had nothing to say to that.
Yeah, and technically you didn't ask them a question, so they didn't have to respond. But if they wanted to respond, they could.
Yeah. And I recently read something quite compelling, actually, about the fact that the majority of messages on Tinder are hey. And the way they were kind of framing it was actually that never feels like a useful message. But if we look at it in terms of maybe it's just a bit more like a notification, you know, you've already matched with each other, so there's something that has come together there. But then them writing hey is like a way of prompting, oh, I'm also interested in talking. I'm not just here to collect matches. It's just a little bit of a ping on your phone of like, hey, I'm available. I can clearly actually message you back.
Let's go.
Yeah. And in that way, I was like, let's talk. Yeah. And it's kind of a low work way of maybe starting a conversation. So I was like, perhaps.
Yeah, I kind of like, do you know what? In life, it's so good sometimes to just flip your perspective on stuff. Because then you can see it from like a different angle, rather than being like, oh, all they said was, hey, like, what is that? Instead of looking at it like that, you could be like, no, that was just them starting the thing. And now I'm going to say something, and then hopefully they'll say something, and then, you know, something will start.
Indeed.
You do you. I mean, my other rule, I suddenly was like, do I get two rules? Well, I'm going to send my other one. Well, it's actually inspired by Mama Ru, but it definitely is, if you don't love yourself, how the hell you're going to love somebody else? So self-love all the way.
It's very true. And I feel like sometimes, because we hear that as Drag Race consumers so often, it sort of wears off, which is a bit of a shame, because it is so important.
But it's so true.
And it's almost so like every other episode, you see someone really going through it and really getting in their head or struggling with their body image or whatever, you know, and you just think, they still need to learn that thing at the end. But I think we all do.
Oh, yeah. I think it's like a constant like journey. Like, it's a constant development and relationship, like the relationship you have with yourself, like that never, you're constantly working on that.
Yeah, I think I've worked on that more than I've worked on relationships with other people sometimes, which could sound really narcissistic. I mean, within the context of like having an eating disorder and body dysmorphia, it maybe makes a bit more sense. But I think it means that because I've worked particularly on my confidence a lot, sometimes I really struggle to relate or understand how people, you know, feel comfortable in the dating scene, and maybe they don't, if they don't appreciate their own value. Because I know definitely being on the other side of that, it can be quite difficult to be around if someone's really like putting themselves down and really doesn't appreciate their own worth. You can often tell on a date.
Yeah, you can feel it, can't you?
Yeah, and so I guess that's something absolutely we all need to work on. And whilst I've worked a lot on appreciating my value as an individual, the thing I'm very much still working on is appreciating my value within a relationship. Like, I don't feel I've had enough good relationships that have been long term or have been healthy or whatever else, where I feel like I am really good at that but I have to remind myself that's kind of self-fulfilling. Like, I'm not going to change that if I think I'm shit at relationships for my whole life.
Definitely not. But I do think it all ties in with, like, knowing yourself and knowing your worth and your value and what you have to offer as well. And I do think once you do sort of, you have been doing the work on that, it's like when situations do happen, you kind of can look at it from a different perspective and not from that perspective where you're kind of like, you'll end up putting yourself down because you don't love yourself enough, or you know what I mean? Like, I remember actually I had a situation, this is a couple of years ago, and it was with one of my first boyfriends. Yeah, we went out when we were like 15, 16. We always remained friends, so over the years we would always, like, you know, keep in contact with each other and stuff like that. And now I look at him like he's like my childhood friend, to be honest. He's not even like ex-boyfriend. But anyways, and I was going down to his hometown where he lived, and he'd messaged me like a couple months before being like, oh, I haven't seen you in ages, like, be so good to see you. And I was like, oh my god, well, I'm gonna actually be in your hometown, one of my friends having a birthday, maybe I'll see you out there. And he was just like, yeah, cool. And then bumped into him, and with me and him, you know what, sometimes with a certain person it's like the chemistry and everything's still there. Like, you haven't seen each other for years, you haven't been out for like 15 years, but somehow the chemistry, connection, everything's still there. So we're having a bit of flirty banter, all that kind of stuff, and it's very natural for, like, say his hand to be in like the nape of my back or something like that. You know, it just feels natural. Like, he didn't feel like, oh, what are you doing? Anyways, and then at some point he must have dropped in that his girlfriend was away on holiday, and at that point I was like, oh, girlfriend. He never mentioned girlfriend. Like, a couple months ago when he was messaging me, there wasn't this whole, like, you know, my girlfriend. It was just kind of like you saying you really want to see me and you miss me. Anyways, in my head, I was like, okay, that's fine. He has a girlfriend. I wasn't expecting anything to happen, but nothing's definitely going to happen now. And then towards the end of the night, he kind of was like, oh yeah, do you want to, like, come back to mine? Like, we could just hang out. Like, I had this switch in my brain. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, like, we could just kind of hang out, you know? And I was just like, are you joking me? Are you genuinely trying to tell me that we're just going to go to yours and you're just going to hang out? And I was like, is that all you see me as? Like, just a bit on the side while your girlfriend's on holiday? Like, what the hell? And I was so angry, mainly because, you know, I've got a lot of history with this guy. And also, like, we go so far back that I thought he'd have way more respect for me than that. But actually what it was is, in that moment, I think because I had so much respect for myself and I knew my worth, like, I was just like, that's just, leave me alone. Like, I just don't even ever want to talk to you again, because I was just like, no. My point I was trying to make is, like, you know, when you know your worth, you don't let anybody else decide it for you. Because I could have, you know, if I wasn't feeling good within myself, and maybe I was feeling like I needed some validation, or I needed someone to love me, or I needed whatever, feeling some kind of lack, I could have just gone back with him on a whim, just like, oh yeah, fine, we're just gonna, you know, we'll just hang out, like, nothing's gonna happen. But obviously probably something might have happened, because two highly intoxicated people with a lot of history, with a lot of chemistry and connection, left alone in a house. I mean, come on, you're gonna bake cookies and drink milk. Yeah, when you know your worth, it basically means, it means nobody else is gonna get to decide for you. That's what I took from that. And therefore I didn't take it personally. I knew that it was like more of a him thing. It said more about him than it did on me. It wasn't like, because back in the day, I usually used to take it when guys just wanted to have sex with me. I used to feel like, oh, is that all I'm good for? Like, it just seems that guys just want to have sex with me. Like, that's all I'm good for. And I take that personally, but that's not about me. That's about them. But yeah, when you know your worth, that's the ticket. That's the key.
That is power. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, he has apologized since. He apologized profusely. And, you know, I don't bear grudges and hold grudges, because I know we're all going through our different things. But I think that was a moment for me of really being like, hell no, I'm worth way more than this. There is no way I'm coming to your house and just being someone on the side while your girlfriend, like, no way. That's, nah.
Yes. Okay. What a great place to round up there. Nice, empowering message. Another point for Carrie.
Know your worth. Know your worth. And then add tax.
Love it. So we'll wrap up there. I've got actually something to share of my kind of example of a bit of that, actually, which I'll tell you about in the Patreon bit. But for now, thank you so much. If people want to find you online, where should they go?
They can find me on the old Instagram at Kerry Boyne Official. I am on Twitter. I don't use it as much, but that's Kerry _Boyne.
would recommend. The Instagram is full of very cute pictures of Kerry.
Well, you know, I do try.
I love it. It's just your enthusiasm comes through in the pictures, and that is an achievement that I think the modeling industry is somewhat beaten out of me. Like, I've got to look disinterested in all of my pictures, but you've gone the other way, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, kids TV, innit? It's all about the cheddar cheese smile. So
you've been such a great guest. So lovely to chat to.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. For more content, including extended ad-free episodes, you can join our Patreon, linked in the episode description. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta, with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet. Speak to you next Friday.